Hello and welcome to episode number 9 of the AFTV Newscast, recorded and streamed live October 2nd. I am Elias Saba, the guy who runs AFTVnews.com, and this is where I'll cover the week's Fire TV news, as well as some other media streaming device news, and then follow up by answering questions that you guys, the viewers and listeners and AFTV News readers, have submitted. I'll start off by covering Fire TV news, then I'll move into kind of Fire TV app news, and then followed by some non-Fire TV news, and then answering questions. So, all right, jumping right into Fire TV news. This week I posted a long comparison chart of the specs of the first generation Fire TV and the upcoming second generation Fire TV, just to kind of give them a nice side-by-side comparison. Nothing too new if you've been following along with Fire TV news like I have. We've known most of these things, but it's nice to see them all side by side. So Amazon is saying that the new CPU and GPU are about 75% faster on the new device compared to the old device. RAM and internal hard drive space is the same. The remotes are different. The new device has Wi-Fi remotes. The old one has Bluetooth-based remotes. I've covered the differences between those and previous podcast episodes if you want to check those out. I'll also try to include a link to an article I wrote specifically about the different remotes and controllers. All the controllers are going to work for either device or for both devices, new and old. The only exception is that the private audio jack that you can plug headphones in onto the new game controller, that jack is not going to work on the old Fire TV. It's only going to work on the new one, but the controller itself will work on the old Fire TV. New device has 802.11c, some more Bluetooth profiles supported on the new device. The USB port on the new device is still kind of up in the air. We know it's not going to be crippled, but we don't know if we're going to be able to move apps onto the USB device or the USB drive connected to the USB port. We know that the micro SD slot on the new device will definitely take apps, so that's kind of what that's therefore, but we don't know if you're going to be able to do it on the USB drive. Moving along, we've got some new info that I haven't posted before about the OpenGL specs and support on the devices. So Amazon has kind of bumped up the OpenGL support from 3.0 to 3.1. And that's kind of has to do with APIs for game developers and such. The nice thing is that the maximum texture size that OpenGL will support on these devices has doubled on the new Fire TV, so games should definitely look a lot better and take advantage of the new hardware. The power adapter on the new device draws more power. It's actually the same power adapter from the Amazon Echo, so it's a 21-watt power adapter as opposed to a 16-watt one on the previous Fire TV. And again, for private listening, you've got more options on the new device with that new game controller, whereas the first generation Fire TV, you've only got third-party Bluetooth options, which don't work as well. The new game controller being Wi-Fi based will probably give you a better audio experience through that. Lastly, I guess between the two, the new device is a little bit lighter. It's about 11 grams lighter, even though it's about pretty much the same size. I think it's just like 0.3 millimeters thinner on one side, or on the thickness actually. But I think the reduced weight is probably due to a smaller heatsink on the new device. That would be my guess. In the first generation Fire TV, the heatsink was pretty big and pretty much took up the entire internal space of that device. So my guess is the new CPU and GPU are a little more power efficient, therefore don't need such a big heatsink. Moving along, Best Buy, Staples, and B&H Photo have all started taking pre-orders for the new Fire TV. Now, price is the same at these retail stores compared to what you see on Amazon for the second generation Fire TV. But the big difference is with Staples especially, you can often find coupons online or purchase them through eBay that will work on the Fire TV. So you can often get it for less than retail through Staples or other places. So it's kind of good to see that right off the bat we're seeing the device available through third parties and not just Amazon. In related news, Best Buy has started to actually put the new device, the new boxes, on the shelf at many of their stores. I went into my local Best Buy, and while it wasn't on the shelf, they had, I think, 12 in stock in the back. And the cashier brought one out to me, and you know, was ready to ring it up, but their point of sale system, their cash register, did not ring up the device, and that's probably because it's not available to purchase until October 5th. So even though the device is on shelves, you probably won't be able to purchase it. You're going to need a manager to override that. So you're going to have to sweet talk your way into getting a Fire TV early if you really want one before Monday's October 5th release date. But because the device has made it to shelves, we kind of have our first look at what the boxes is going to look like for the second generation Fire TV. A big thanks to Dave Zatz, who runs ZatzNotFunny.com, who sent me some really nice high-res pictures of the box. So nothing too much to learn, nothing new to learn really about the box. We see, for those who are just listening to the podcast version, on the box there are Hulu, Fox Sports, Go, HBO Now, Pandora, Watch ESPN, Amazon, Crossy Roads, Showtime, Crackle, PBS Video, Netflix, NBC News, Twitch, Amazon Music, and Sling. Those are the apps that are kind of advertised on the front of the box. On the back, we see kind of the main big features being advertised: 4K support, voice search, Alexa voice service, Dolby Audio, MediaTek quad core, and 802.11ac, which is pretty much the big bullet points for the new device. Then on the side, we kind of just get a general idea. So it says supports up to 7.1 channel Dolby Digital Plus surround sound, micro SD slot, USB port, 2 GHz quad core, Bluetooth support for headphones and game controllers, no HDMI cable included with the device, same as we kind of expected from the first one. You will still get those remote batteries for the remote control, to AAA batteries, and of course the power adapter. So for those of you who are not keen on the new device and have your heart set on an optical audio port from the first generation Fire TV, which is not on the second gen, that's kind of the biggest loss when upgrading, I think. And that's kind of a deal breaker for some people. I know that people don't like to pass their audio through their TV and then down out of their TV into their receiver through HDMI. So that optical port, audio port, is a nice feature. So for those rare few that are still looking for the first generation device, Fire TV, just a quick PSA letting you know that Prime Now, even though the first generation Fire TV has been sold out on Amazon for a while now, if the Prime Now kind of 2-hour delivery service is available in your area, you should check that out, because they've got first generation Fire TVs in stock just through that service. Also, the refurbished units just came back in stock a few days ago. So for those rare few out there who still want the first generation device and are looking for it, there actually are a few ways to get it from Amazon, so you don't have to resort to eBay or Craigslist. Now, probably the big news of this week is that Amazon yesterday announced that they are going to stop selling Apple TV, Chromecast, and Nexus Player on Amazon.com. We don't know if that's also going to be the case on Amazon UK and their other international sites, but we do know they're going to stop taking new listings for these devices, and I think it was October 29th, they're going to just stop, take down the existing listings. Now, this has definitely pissed off quite a few people, a bit of a jerky move on Amazon's part. The reason Amazon says they're removing these devices is because they want to give a good Prime Video experience, and that's not the case with these devices. That reason is a little just kind of their PR front reason, but I wrote my thoughts on the subject just to take a peek. It's one of my longer articles, so if you really want to know my thoughts on this, take a read of this, but I'll give you the bullet points right now. Again, this is just what I think. And, you know, Amazon has not really said anything further than just the whole Prime Video reason. I personally think Amazon does want to put Prime Video on the Apple TV, the Nexus Player, and make it, you know, castable through the Chromecast. But there are things about those devices there are restrictions that Apple and Google have put in place that make it not a good idea for Amazon to do that. We don't know the details, of course, about Amazon's licensing agreements with their, you know, the content that they provide through Amazon Prime and Video. But the fact is that for Amazon to put their video app on the Apple TV and on the Nexus Player, they would need to give Apple and Google a 30% cut of any movies or TV shows that are purchased or rented through those apps. And even if somebody subscribes through Amazon Prime through those apps, Amazon would have to give Apple or Google a 30% cut of that subscription. So my guess is that because their profit margins are probably pretty slim on these or on the content, you know, in order to provide as much as they can, my guess is they can't afford to give 30% cut to Apple and Google. And that's why they haven't put their apps on those devices. Amazon said that Roku devices, Xboxes, and PlayStations will not be affected and they'll continue to sell those. And, you know, they haven't said this, but on those devices, the manufacturers don't take a 30% cut. So that's why you find full-featured Amazon Prime on those devices. So as far as the Chromecast goes, the Chromecast doesn't actually have apps itself. You actually send video through other apps. Now, there's other restrictions on the Chromecast or Google Cast specifically, where Amazon cannot include casting abilities on their own hardware, like the Fire Phone, the Fire Tablet, and even the Fire TV. So Amazon has an Amazon Video app for the iPhone and iPad, and they have an Android app for Android devices, tablets, and smartphones. But these apps are not full-featured apps. The Amazon Video app for iPhones and iPads can only stream Prime content and movies or TV shows that you've purchased or rented on Amazon's website. So you can't make any purchases or basically spend any money through the app. It's very limited. Now the Amazon app, the Android app, on the other hand, it's more full-featured, but you can't get it through the Google Play Store. Amazon provides it only through their Amazon Apps Store on Android. That way they kind of circumvent the restrictions that Google puts in place. So that 30% cut only applies to apps that are in the Google Play Store. Again, the thing about that 30% cut is both Apple and Google make all of their developers who sell digital content use the in-app purchase mechanism. You cannot take payments through another mechanism if the content that's being provided cannot be viewed outside of the app. You know, so for example, Amazon Video can only be viewed within an Amazon Video app because there's DRM involved. So the app is, you know, made specifically for that video stream. They can't just provide it through another app or like YouTube or something, you know, odd like that. So it has to be within that one app. And so that's why that restriction applies to them. They can't take payment any other way. Now, Lewis has asked on Twitter, why not only make Amazon Prime Video available for these devices without rent and buy? Again, it's not a full-featured app. It's not the ideal situation. So Amazon has made this decision kind of as a protest, really. This is my opinion again. They're kind of protesting that they don't agree that they should have to give up 30% of all, you know, all purchases through these apps just to be available on the App Store. So they're kind of leveraging, you know, the biggest leverage they have is their retail. You know, they're the biggest online retailer. So they're using that to kind of add restrictions to other devices, just like Apple and Google are adding restrictions on Amazon. You know, that's what it boils down to. You know, you're not going to find Amazon products sold in Apple stores, and Google Play Store is definitely not going to sell Amazon products. So Amazon's just kind of bringing things on par. It sucks for the consumer. I totally agree. You know, I wish they didn't do it, but I can see where they're coming from. That's all. And so as far as Chromecast goes, briefly on that, you know, you might ask why not include Chromecast on the existing iOS, iPhone and iPad app, or on the Android app that you can kind of sideload or, you know, install through the Amazon App Store. I think that's because if they included Chromecast support on those devices and they don't include it on their own devices, and again, they cannot include casting support on their own devices because Google restricts that. You have to have Google Play services on the device. And in order to get Google Play services on the device, you have to, you know, license it with Google, and you have to agree to basically make the device a Google device. You know, Google has basically tied Amazon's hands as far as casting goes on Amazon devices, that is. I can see why Amazon doesn't want to include casting on some of their video apps and not on their own content, because You know, people who are buying these devices, they don't know what's going on behind the scenes. They're just going to see Amazon is kind of blowing off their own hardware, you know, and I've seen that complaint a lot, you know, with the Fire Phone. When Amazon released Amazon Underground for Android devices, you know, they released 700 or so free apps, and they didn't release it for the Fire Phone. The biggest complaint from everybody that I heard was that why isn't it available on Amazon's own hardware? So Amazon is just, if Amazon includes casting on other hardware and not their own, it's just going to cause a big headache for them. So, I mean, I don't blame Amazon for not including casting on these devices when Google themselves are tying their hands and limiting which devices can have casting. You know, Google needs, if they're really behind casting and if they're really behind Chromecast, they should just open up the protocol and allow any device to cast to a Chromecast. You know, it shouldn't have to be a sanctioned Google licensed device that has, you know, contractual restrictions and that sort of stuff. This is kind of the case. This is what's happening. Amazon is just leveraging their power to try to get things changed so that they can put Amazon Video on all of these devices that they want to without taking a big 30% cut. It's still kind of a jerky move, of course. People are still going to see it that way. There's no denying that. Whether it's a good move or not, we'll have to see. I don't think, you know, it's going to hurt Apple TV that much. I think it'll hurt Chromecast a lot more than Apple TV not being sold, you know, not being able to sell them on Amazon. The Chromecast is, you know, apart from the Fire TV stick, the Chromecast is like the best selling media streaming device on Amazon. And I think most people get them from Amazon. You know, Google's whole store doesn't really have sales that often. And so you can usually get it cheaper on Amazon. So I think it's going to hurt the Chromecast a lot more than it's going to hurt Apple TV, because you know, Apple's retail stores are one of the most successful retail stores in existence. And so, and Apple's own store on their website, you know, sells most of their devices. I would think more people buy from Apple.com than from Amazon as far as Apple devices go. And that's because Apple kind of controls the pricing of their devices really tightly. So you're not really going to get a deal if you buy somewhere other than Apple. So that's why I don't think this is going to affect Apple TV much at all. Chromecast is going to get hurt a little bit more, but I don't know if it's going to do anything. Hopefully what it does is at least give Amazon a little leverage to bring Apple, bring Google, you know, to kind of make an agreement to where all these guys can just play together, play nice, so that the consumers can, you know, just, you know, be able to get their content wherever they want. So hopefully that was a good summary of what I think is going on behind the scenes. But I really don't think it's just to kind of hurt competition sales. I think they want Instant Video and Prime Video to be on as many devices as they can. I mean, otherwise they wouldn't be putting it on TVs, built in on TVs, smart TVs. They wouldn't be putting it on Roku and Xbox and PlayStation. You know, they have full control over that. If they wanted to limit it from being on competitors' devices, you know, why not limit it from all devices and just put it on Fire devices? All right, let's move on to some Fire TV app news. So first up, Showtime released their standalone new a la carte app onto the Fire TV. They've had an app on the Fire TV for a while now, but that app had to be activated through a regular cable subscription. This new app, you can install it and sign up for Showtime service and get access to all of their on-demand and live content for $10.99 a month. And Showtime is offering a 30-day free trial to Fire TV owners. It's a different app, so, you know, look for the link in the show notes to know which app it is from Showtime. But nice to see that they brought it over to the Fire TV first before releasing it on things like on Android TV and Android devices. Another new cool little interesting app coming to the Fire TV is Poker Central. So this is a new 24/7 poker only network. They stream poker tournaments, poker shows where they'll kind of teach poker tricks and that kind of stuff and take big poker celebrities. So the nice thing is this app is completely free. There's no activation. There's no subscription fee. You can install it. And there's, you know, if you're a poker fan, there's a lot of pretty good content in there. I was surprised that they haven't put in any kind of subscription or even hinted at a future subscription model. So, you know, take advantage of this while you can if you're a poker fan. Again, links will be in the description for all these apps that I talk about. Moving on, it was in general a nice big week for Fire TV apps. So FX Now released their app for the first time on Fire TV and Fire TV Stick. This is the app from Fox covering the networks FX, FXX, and FXM. Unfortunately, you do need a cable subscription to activate this app. But once you activate it, there's a lot of pretty good content in there. Another nice thing is this app actually has a whole dedicated Simpsons World section where you can stream every single Simpsons episode ever. So check that out, FX Now on the Fire TV. Last video app is actually finally the release of ITV Player for the Fire TV. This is a UK network for those in the US who are not familiar with this. It kind of rounds out the UK app offerings on the Fire TV. Unfortunately, the app is geographically restricted to the UK only, so most of the people listening to this are probably in the US and won't take advantage of this. But for those in the UK, it's nice to see this app has made its way to the Fire TV. It'll be on the Fire TV stick in about 2 weeks. And they said it'll be on the next generation Fire TV at launch. So, you know, in a few days, it'll be available through that. ITV has said they're going to kind of revamp their player completely and call it the ITV Hub. So that's still planned and that's still coming. But in the meantime, they released their regular ITV player on the Fire TV. Lastly, in Fire TV news is a new game called DuckTales Remastered that was released for the Fire TV. This is one of the games that you get bundled with the Fire TV game, the new next generation Fire TV gaming bundle. You get this game and Shovel Knight. It's a pretty nice game. It's completely redone. It's not just a port of the original NES game. It's kind of like a new game done with 3D graphics. And they actually used real Disney artists to draw some of the backgrounds for the game. So if you play this game or you're looking for some kids, it's a really nice game for the Fire TV. Moving along to some non-Fire TV news. We're seeing a lot of new devices being released in the last few weeks, new streaming devices. So we still haven't seen the Roku 4 released, but I was actually able this week to find the first image of the Roku 4. And so it's a larger, wider device than the Roku 3. It looks roughly about twice the size of the Roku 3. So there's definitely some good hardware or heat sinks or something packed in there. You know, I'm wondering if there's even a hard drive in there or not. Take a look in the show notes or if you're watching the video stream at what the new Roku 4 is going to look like. Now, after that Roku 4, I found that Roku 4 image. A few days later, we saw some specs leaked from Roku's developer pages about what's going to be in the new Roku 4. Now, according to those specs, which I don't think are actually completely accurate, because one thing about those specs is that it didn't list 802.11ac, which was listed in the FCC documents, and I trust those more than any kind of, you know, leaked specs from anywhere, because those documents are not going to be wrong. So those documents say that the device comes with 802.11ac, but the specs did not say that. So take these specs with a grain of salt, but it looks like the new Roku 4 is going to be a 4K device. The spec said it was 2160p and that it would have a quad core ARM processor. We don't know the speed of the processor. The specs didn't say so. The other thing that the spec said was that the device would support OpenGL 2.0. In comparison, the Fire TV first generation supports OpenGL 3.0, the second generation OpenGL 3.1. So that kind of tells me they're not going to focus too much on gaming. I would guess they're going to focus more so than previously, but you know, if they're not behind the newer OpenGL specs, then it's probably not that important to them. Lastly, it said there's going to be a USB port, Ethernet port, optical audio port, which is nice. New Fire TV does not have that, and a micro SD slot. The spec said the device would have 1.5 gigabytes of RAM. That's a bit odd, you know, because you know usually it's a round number, like either 1 gig or 2 gigs. The Roku 3 had 512 megabytes, I believe. Again, I wouldn't be surprised if the final, you know, specs for this device are a little different than what we've seen here, but we should be seeing a Roku 4 coming out soon. Moving on to more new device news, we saw a new Chromecast announced from Google this week. Now, as far as the hardware goes, I was a bit disappointed with the new device. It's basically identical specs to the existing Chromecast, except the big jump is to 802.11ac Wi-Fi from 802.11n on the previous one. They seem to have concentrated more on the software. Actually, before I get into the software, the device physically looks different. So instead of being kind of in a stick shape, it's more in a disc circular shape. And one nice interesting feature is that it actually has a flexible HDMI cable attached to it. And that lets the device actually kind of hang further away from the back of your TV, which helps with interference. So they also said that there are 3 antennas in the device that also help with interference. So it looks like getting a nice strong Wi-Fi signal to the device is a big thing that the Google's going with the new Chromecast. Again, it seems like they concentrated a lot on the software side. So they have a new Chromecast app that kind of aggregates media from all your different apps like Netflix and Hulu and that sort of stuff, and will let you search all of the different content providers for content, you know, kind of like a universal search, since the Chromecast does not have its own interface. So they're using the Chromecast app for that. So the device is still $35 and I think has already started shipping. So you can order that from Google Play Store themselves. Real quick, they also are releasing something called a Chromecast Audio, which actually looks identical to the new Chromecast, except instead of an HDMI port, it has an audio jack, which can take a 3.5mm cable, RCA connector, or optical audio. And basically what it does is it adds kind of Wi-Fi audio capabilities to an existing either stereo system or speakers that you have. So you'll be able to use any app to cast audio to, quote, dumb speakers. That's kind of cool. That Chromecast Audio is also $35. I think it would have been nice if the regular Chromecast kind of had the audio port built in, so you can kind of use the device for either or. I understand you're not going to be able to use it for both, but you know, since they're the same price, you know, it would be nice if they kind of use the same chipset, same everything, and just added that port in. But anyway, if you want a new Chromecast, go check that out. I'll have a link in the description to where you can pick that up. So more new hardware news. One thing I read actually from Dave Zatz, he says that all this new hardware is dropping now because there's some kind of deadline with Best Buy where you've got to get new hardware onto the shelves by, I think he said, October 10th or 11th in order to make it into kind of the Best Buy shelves ready for the holiday season. So that's kind of why we're just seeing this rush of new hardware. So I wouldn't be surprised if come Monday or Tuesday, we'd see a new Roku device announced so that they kind of make that Best Buy deadline. But we saw a new TiVo device, and I thought I'd mention it briefly, mostly because TiVo said they are actually releasing an Amazon Fire TV app to go along with this new device. So the new device is called the TiVo Bolt, and it's still kind of tailored more towards the cable subscriber. So it's got four tuners built in. You can get it either in a 5 gigabyte hard drive model for $300 or a 1 terabyte hard drive model for $400. Comes with a year of TiVo service built in, and then after that you're gonna have to pay a subscription fee for their TiVo service. The biggest feature of this is that they support for 20 networks a commercial skipping feature where they're actually employing people to mark when commercials start, when commercials end for the big 20 networks. And with one button, you'll be able to skip commercials. So with the Amazon app, you'll be able to view anything you record on the TiVo Bolt through a Fire TV. So you can essentially get one TiVo Bolt for the house, use it to record and, you know, schedule recordings for all your programming, and then view that content through like Fire TV sticks, for example, you know, kind of on the cheap. They're pushing that as a way to save cable box, you know, rental fees, for example. So you can pay $40 to get a Fire TV stick instead of paying whatever it is, $5 to $10 a month for your various cable boxes. So that is available for pre-order now and will ship, I believe, October 4th. All right, let's move into questions and answers. So every Thursday, I'll post on aftvnews.com a post asking for questions to cover on the stream. You guys are welcome to enter your comments there and I'll cover them. So this is that post, and let's get right in and see what people are asking. First question is from Stewie B. They say, "Hi, now that Roku 4 specs are leaked, should I consider this instead of Fire TV? How do they compare for 4K performance and gaming? Thanks." We don't know for 4K performance yet, because the Roku hasn't been announced yet, and we don't have our hands on the Fire TV yet. So we'll have to wait and see for 4K performance. As far as gaming, I think I have a feeling the Fire TV is going to be a better gaming device. First of all, I think it's going to get a lot more games because Amazon App Store team is really pushing game developers. You know, they're actually contacting them personally, getting them to release their games onto the Fire TV. I don't know if Roku's doing the same thing on their side, but just because the Fire TV has Android, you know, running on it, there's a lot more gaming potential there because you're going to get a lot of developers developing for Android games anyway. And so you'll kind of get those ported over to the Fire TV. Should you consider the Roku 4 over the Fire TV? I think the biggest thing the Roku 4 has for it are unique channels, unique video content sources. Amazon is still trying to get a lot of the channels that Roku has had for a while, just because Roku has been in the game for a lot longer than Amazon has. The streaming device game, that is. So, you know, take a look at Roku's channels, and if that's something you want, if you want all those kind of obscure little ways to get free content, the Roku, you know, is a good option there. But for kind of the tinkerer, I like that Fire TV has Android on the back end. That's a big thing for me. Lets you install Kodi, you know, and, you know, the gaming aspect I think is better on the Fire TV. Quick question from Paz through Twitter. He's saying, I'm considering buying the new device, but he's wondering about coding on the new device. We don't know for sure yet. I'll find out. That's one of the first things I'll test on Monday. Definitely check out AFTVnews.com on Monday. As soon as I get the new Fire TV, I will be testing to see how Kodi runs on it, whether Kodi runs on it. I have a feeling there aren't going to be too many issues. I think, you know, you'll still be able to sideload apps on the new Fire TV. I'm pretty confident in that. If Kodi has issues, it'll probably just be a matter of time before the Kodi team, you know, addresses those issues and fixes any bugs. Because remember, the new Fire TV is going to run Fire OS 5. So there are a lot of, you know, back-end changes there. So you'll have to wait and see. But I think, you know, if not at the very beginning, eventually Kodi will run smoothly. Because if you remember, Kodi on the first generation Fire TV did not run perfectly at first. You know, you had to go in and kind of make some advanced setting changes to kind of get it optimized. And then eventually, as more versions of Kodi came out, it got better and better, and they kind of addressed those issues that kind of made it more optimized for the Fire TV. So I think the same we're going to see with the second generation Fire TV. It might not run perfectly. I think the first generation Fire TV will be a better Kodi box on day one when the next generation Fire TV comes out, but eventually they'll both be on par, and then probably the next generation Fire TV with its stronger GPU, CPU will eventually be a better Kodi device. Next question is from MasterBlaster8987, who has become a regular here on the AFTV newscast. He says, Elias, this fall looks like streaming players' dream with the new AFTV 2, Apple TV, Roku 4, or the NVIDIA Shield console. Content is king for streaming with all these devices. As a cable cutter, which new streaming device could hit the golden a la carte subscription model that everyone wants? Do you think Google is dropping support for the Android TV platform? I'll answer that second question after the first one. As far as which streaming device is going to hit the golden a la carte subscription model, so what Master Blaster is referring to, I believe, is being able to handpick every single network, every single channel, and just pay for them individually. I honestly don't think any individual device is going to achieve that. I think the individual channels are going to pick kind of which device they want to support, just like we saw Showtime just came this week to the Fire TV, and it came to the Apple TV a little earlier. Same thing with HBO Now. I think the CBS's All Access is on Roku devices. They haven't come to the Fire TV yet. So I think that's how we're going to see it play out. I think Apple TV has the best chance with their kind of rumored streaming service that they're trying to do, because they kind of can push networks a certain way because they sell devices so well. But I don't think any one device is going to just be the dominant a la carte subscription model device. I think each one is going to have individual channels. All of these cable networks, it's greatly to their advantage to be on as many devices as possible. The reason Apple has been having so much trouble nailing these network deals is because these networks don't want to give any one device more power or too much power to become the dominant device. Thinking back, I've mentioned this before, to the iPod era when Apple approached the record industry. They nailed those record deals. They got music to come to the iPad and the iTunes store, and the record industry kind of regretted it because they put too much power in the iPod. The iPod became the number one, you know, go-to music device. So now that digital music is king, if you want to buy music, you're pretty much buying it on iTunes, you know. Sure, Amazon sells music and it's kind of come up, you know, on par with iTunes. But for a long time, iTunes was the dominant music purchasing network. And so the networks, the TV networks, don't want to make the same mistake that the record industry made. So they are trying not to give any power into a single device. And so you're going to see all of these networks on all of these devices eventually, I think. Moving along, next question from Riffmaker. Any word on a Time Warner cable app for Fire TV? The Roku even has this app. I know it can be sideloaded, but it's a pain to change channels. You need a mouse. Anything I hear about apps coming to the Fire TV, I always post about immediately, pretty much. You know, if you're wondering about a specific app, use the search feature on, you know, the search field on AFTVnews.com. If I haven't written about it, then I don't know anything about it. Big thing I suggest with anybody who wants any app to come to the Fire TV is shoot an email to For example, Time Warner Cable. Let them know that you're out there, you have Fire TV, and you want their service on your device. That's the number one, absolutely the number one way to get new services to come to the Fire TV is for consumers to request them. You know, because these networks kind of just sit there and they have to decide which devices have priority. And they do that by looking at what their consumers, their customers are asking for. So definitely contact people and let them know. Next question from Nick asks, when is NHL Center Ice going to arrive on the Fire TV? Same thing as I just mentioned to Riffmaker. If I knew, I would post about it. I don't. Contact NHL, send them an email, tweet at them, tell them to come to the Fire TV. Next question is from Pedro, who is asking for me to talk about the news that Amazon is going to stop selling the Apple TV and the Nexus Player and such. Since I already discussed about it, I won't discuss it again here. Next question from Gilad. Hey, Elias, do you think we can expect a DirecTV and Bein Sports app anytime soon? It's funny. So again, same thing I said to the other guys. I don't know about individual app coming. If I did, I would have posted about them. Contact those networks and ask for the apps to come. Next question from Minarp. How the heck did you get your @Elias Twitter handle? If you bought it, how much? Oh, that's funny. I welcome questions that are not necessarily Fire TV related. Briefly, I just was on Twitter really early and I registered. That's for those who don't know, that's my personal Twitter account, @Elias, ELIAS. I don't tweet too much from there. Anything Fire TV related, I tweet from the @AFTV News account. But, you know, you're welcome to tweet me there if you've got any questions about tech or that kind of stuff, or just have a comment. But yeah, I just registered on Twitter really early and I got that username. I've had it for, you know, since like, 2007 or something like that. Next question from Adam. He says, Elias, you mentioned that the new remote will work for the original Fire TV. Since it uses Wi-Fi, will the remote talk to the Wi-Fi network that the Fire TV is on, or will the Fire TV create a little dedicated network for the remote like the Roku Stick does? Thanks. It'll do it like the Roku Stick does. It's called Wi-Fi Direct. It won't actually, you know, talk through the over the network, internet router network. The Fire TV app for, you know, iOS and Android, that does not talk directly to the Fire TV through Wi-Fi Direct. It talks through the network, but all indication so far is that the remotes will talk directly through a little personal Wi-Fi connection with the actual device. So yeah, you'll probably actually see the new Fire TV and the old Fire TV and the Fire TV Stick once they get Fire OS 5. You'll actually see that they actually have a little hotspot coming kind of out of them. They'll, you know, if you scan your network with your computer, for example, you'll probably see like a weird Fire TV network. So that'll probably be the direct Wi-Fi direct connection. So Griff asks via Twitter, is there much benefit in the AFTV 2 for a non-gamer? On the fence about upgrades since AFTV 1 should get Alexa. No, not too much. Honestly, the biggest advantages of the new Fire TV is going to be 4K support. So if you don't have a 4K TV yet and are not planning to get one in the next year, the new Fire TV is probably not for you. The existing Fire TV will do just great. If you're not a gamer, that's the biggest advantage of the new Fire TV's 75% more powerful CPU, GPU. So if you're not a gamer and you don't need 4K, really, those are the two big reasons to get the new Fire TV. You know, I think the Fire TV is going to kind of go along on a similar upgrade cycle as smartphones do. So every year you see basically, you know, a new iPhone come out or a new Nexus phone come out. And usually it's not a big enough change to where it's worth upgrading every year. It's more worth upgrading every 2 years. You know, that's kind of the way smartphones work. That's why cell phone contracts usually are 2 years long, you know, in the US, even though we're trying to, you know, most networks are getting rid of those. And I kind of think the same thing is going to happen with the Fire TV, where every 2 years will probably be a for sure upgrade. Every year will kind of be for some people who really want those extra new features. If you don't need the 4K and you don't need the gaming on the second generation Fire TV, I think the biggest thing you'll notice is kind of a snappier interface, you know, because it's got that faster processor. You're going to kind of, that's what you might see there. Honestly, not that big of a reason to upgrade if you've already got and you're happy with the first generation Fire TV. If you picked up, say, a Fire TV Stick, for example, say like through the $19 Prime pre-order deal, and you're happy with your Fire TV Stick, I think the Fire TV 2 is a really nice upgrade from that. Just because the Fire TV Stick it's only got, you know, 1 gigabyte of RAM, half the RAM. The CPU is much weaker on the Fire TV Stick. You know, I mean, it's a huge difference on it. So you're going to get a lot nicer interface there. And if you don't have a voice remote with your Fire TV Stick, you're going to get a voice remote, so you'll have full Alexa capabilities there. So I think it's definitely a nice upgrade from a Fire TV Stick for the Fire TV 2, but not so much the first generation Fire TV. Next question from Aaron. He says, can you tell us more about the script you used to find the Roku 4 image? It's interesting and maybe rare for a software engineer to run a blog. Seems like it gives you some advantage over other tech bloggers. I'll mention it briefly. I don't know how many people are too interested in it. I wrote the script before the second generation Fire TV came out to hopefully try to find an image of the second generation Fire TV. And like I said in my post about the Roku 4 image, I actually did find an image for the second generation Fire TV before it was announced. But as we know now, the second generation Fire TV, it looks exactly like the first generation Fire TV. So there was really no point in like making a post about it saying, hey, look, this is a new Fire TV. It looks just like the old one. But the script is basically just kind of a web crawler that I wrote. I wrote it in PHP just because that's the easiest language for me to hop into. Basically, I pointed at a domain or pointed at a set of URLs. What it does is it scrapes the images that it finds on those pages, and then kind of does a little analysis on the kind of the file names and the URLs and the directories that those images are hosted on, and then it takes like keywords that I give it and kind of does a swap for those URLs. Something you would do by, you know, pretty easily by hand, like, you know, if there's an image that says, you know, that's called firetv.jpg, you might think, hey, firetv2.jpg, you know, might be the image for the next generation device. And so, yeah, that's how the script worked. It scanned Roku's website. It found several images that said Roku 3.jpg, for example. It was more complicated than that, but it swapped out the 3 for the 4 just because, you know, I told it, like, look for Roku 3 and replace Roku 4 with that. And sure enough, and then the script will go and check to see if that new URL actually leads to an image that it did not actually retrieve when it scraped the site. So yeah, it found one hit, and that Roku 4 image was just sitting there on the server, even though it was not posted anywhere on Roku's site. And that's how I found the first Roku 4 image. Next question from a username I'm not even going to try to pronounce, but let's just say it's RKGenva. Any information on the status of Fling? Haven't heard anything about new apps or anything since early summer. I haven't really been looking at what new Fling apps have come out. I've mentioned before on the podcast, if you're a developer out there, feel free to contact me if you're adding Fling support into your app. For those who don't know, Fling is Amazon's version of Google Cast, essentially. It lets app developers add the ability to send audio and video from any app to a Fire TV. Unlike Google Cast, it's not limited to Google sanctioned devices. So, you know, any Android app or iOS app can add Fling support. But it's tough to stay on top of that because that means I have to monitor iOS apps and kind of, you know, the only real way to really know when an app has added Fling support is either if somebody tells me, like if you guys find an app that has added Fling support, feel free to email me about it. If developers tell me, that's always awesome. Other than that, I have to go in and, you know, just manually search to see if somebody happened to include Fling, the keyword Fling, in their release notes, for example. It's real tedious, so it's really tough to stay on top of that. But there's nothing Amazon can really do at this point. They've released Fling, they've released documentation, they've made it as easy as they can for developers to add Fling. They even have outlined for developers who have added Google Cast into their app, there's a really easy way to add Fling support into their app. You know, it's going to be a slow trickle for developers to start adding Fling just because it's so new, but hopefully we'll see developers adding Fling support soon. Next question from Resmi. I currently have a first-gen Fire TV. Should I consider getting a Roku 4 or a second-gen Fire TV? How much of an improvement is the new Fire TV versus the old one? At the moment, I have to restart it daily to keep Netflix from stuttering. Also, a native Crunchyroll app is very important. I have no idea why Crunchyroll is ignoring Android TV. And of course, Kodi support. If you guys could reach out to Crunchyroll, it'd be great. It'd be the perfect device for me then. As far as Crunchyroll goes, for those who don't know, Crunchyroll is, I believe, an anime video streaming service, one of the biggest ones, if not the biggest ones. Again, just like I've said before, you definitely should reach out to Crunchyroll if you haven't already. If you're a fan of the service and you want it to come to the Fire TV, email them, reach out to them, let them know. You can even reach out to Amazon. I don't know how good that'll do, you know, because I know Amazon will try to reach out to services themselves that people are requesting, but definitely reach out to Crunchyroll. I've kind of covered already the differences between the Roku 4 and the second generation Fire TV. Like I said briefly, I think Roku 4 is probably better if you want a larger variety of streaming services, more channels, for example. But I think the Fire TV 2 is going to be better for gaming, better for tinkering because it's Android-based. If you want to do something more than just watch video content, then I think the Fire TV 2 is a better option just because being Android-based, it gives you a lot more options there. Next question from Don McNeil. When will the new OS 5 be available for download to the first generation Amazon Fire TV for regular users? From what I've heard, it'll be coming just shortly after the second generation Fire TV is released. So the next generation Fire TV is coming out October 5th. So I would expect Fire OS 5 to start going out to devices around the second week of October. That would be my guess. I haven't heard an exact date. One thing to keep in mind is that the second generation Fire TV is going to ship with Fire OS 5. So that's kind of going to be Amazon's first public test of Fire OS 5 on a Fire TV device. So if they find any issues with that, it'll probably delay when the first generation Fire TV gets Fire OS 5. So, you know, even though I've heard from sources within Amazon that choose to remain anonymous, I've heard from them that Fire OS 5 will arrive on first generation Fire TVs right after the second generation Fire TV ships. That could always get delayed, you know, so don't hold me to that. Don't hold Amazon to that. Hopefully we'll get it soon. Hopefully they've kind of got all the bugs out. I did hear that, you know, as you'd probably expect, a software update for the second generation Fire TV will be available on day one. So you'll probably want to upgrade to that if you're getting the next generation Fire TV. I know everybody tends to not want to update Fire TV software if they're hoping to root the device, but usually the first launch day update, you know, fixes a lot of bugs, you know, that they've found since the OS was sent to, you know, the factories in China. I always recommend you guys update that first one. And if a rooting method, for example, comes up down the line for the second generation Fire TV, it'll be, you know, very rare that you'll be able to root the initial OS versus the, you know, release day update. Next question is from Lewis, another regular here on the AFTV newscast. He says, I just hope you are doing fine. We'll be watching again live tonight from Belgium. My wife is out, so no distractions. So Lewis's first question is regarding to the ban of the Apple TV, Chromecast, and Nexus Player. So since I've already addressed that, I'll skip on to the other questions. Next question is, the Fire OS 5, including Alexa, is coming October 5th. This will go all by itself, right? Or should I do something? Like I just said in the previous question, it'll probably come mid-October. You won't need to do anything as long as you haven't blocked updates through your router or through like a rooted device. It'll just arrive as a regular over-the-air update. There's nothing you need to do there. Third question, I love Pluto on the Fire TV. Do you know of any similar apps on Fire TV looking like old-fashioned TV? Not really. Pluto is kind of unique in that sense. For those who don't know, Pluto is a free streaming service that takes videos online, like from Vimeo, from YouTube, and other sources, and puts them into kind of like a traditional channel format where they have like a program guide where, you know, this is a news channel. Well, they'll show you news videos back to back, you know, constantly. It just never stops. And so you just kind of flip channels and go to like the music channel or go to the news channel, go to the comedy channel. It's a really nice service. And actually, I mean, that's the one thing that kind of stands them out is their, like you say, Lewis, the old fashioned TV format. And I think I haven't seen any other apps that do that. You know, that's kind of unique to Pluto and kind of why they even exist. So yeah, I haven't seen that. Lewis has chimed in on Twitter saying, Netflix now is much better than Amazon. Do you think Amazon will be able to catch up? I honestly don't think Amazon will ever catch up to Netflix's offerings just because Netflix is dedicated to video. Whereas Amazon's Prime, I'm assuming you're talking about Amazon Prime, Amazon Prime's video offerings, it's like an extra thing that you get with Prime. It's not just dedicated. You're not just paying for that. So I honestly think Netflix will always have a better library, but Amazon is definitely catching up, you know. Amazon is focusing on exclusives a lot more these days, and they've even said that, you know, officially. Last year, they spent $1.4 billion, I believe, on getting Amazon exclusives and Amazon content, you know, to offer on Prime. So you're definitely going to see more. You're definitely going to see them closing the gap, but I think Netflix will always be just a little bit better as far as video content than Amazon Prime will be. Min chimes in on Twitter asking, have you tried Fire OS 5 and how is it different? I've only tried the developer preview and there aren't really many differences. So with Fire OS 5 versus Fire OS 3, which is on the existing Fire TVs, there aren't many big feature changes. The biggest feature change is Alexa. That by far is, you know, is the big change there. But Fire OS 5's main purpose was to bring the back end of Android on the Fire TV up to speed with the latest version of Android so that developers can use all of the newer Android APIs. You know, so Fire OS 5 will have, for example, APIs that are available on Android TV because Android TV has launched since the Fire OS was released. So the main purpose of Fire OS 5 is not to bring a whole bunch of new great features to the Fire TV. It's to let developers keep their apps up to date. So it's really great in that sense, but you're not going to notice a big change. I mean, when you turn on a second generation Fire TV running Fire OS 5, I bet you when you put it side to side with a first generation Fire TV running Fire OS 3, you're not going to see a big difference there. The interface looks like it's going to be pretty much the same. All the arrangements are the same. I've heard from people on the Fire TV team now that they've got Fire OS 5 running well and on the Fire TV, now's when they're going to concentrate on bringing new interesting features to Fire OS 5. You know, the first step was just to get it stable and get it running. This rudimentary Alexa skills are coming to the Fire OS 5 on Fire TV, and they're going to expand that before the year is over, I've heard. So we're going to see more features coming, you know, I think before the year is over for Fire OS 5. But at first, we're not going to see too many. So next question from Andrew is, I have only one question. Will the new Fire TV pass Bitstream HD codecs like DTS HD, Dolby True HD, Atmos through HDMI? So we don't know for sure. Amazon hasn't officially posted details about how they're going to pass audio. But there was a somebody on Reddit, on the Fire TV subreddit, who said that they contacted Amazon asking basically this specific question, whether DTS would be passed through HDMI because the new next generation Fire TV does not have an optical audio port. And according to the response from, you know, Amazon customer service, they said, yes, it will pass DTS audio through HDMI. If you have your Fire TV connected to your television through HDMI, and then your television connected to your audio receiver, you will get DTS through HDMI. Next question from Trox. What's next in the evolution of cord cutting? Will we see price drops for HBO, Showtime, or CBS? When are we likely to see cable companies offer some sort of retention package for cord cutters? Perhaps broadcast plus ESPN plus regional Fox Sports, or broadcast plus NBA, NFL? Interesting question from Trox. I think you've kind of nailed it there. The next evolution in cord cutting is going to be different ways of getting different networks kind of packaged together. So I think there will be more services like Sling TV where you'll kind of be able to get packages of networks streaming kind of a la carte, you know, through a subscription thing. You know, we know Apple's working on it. Maybe Amazon is going to be working on something similar. I know Amazon kind of has AWS cloud that they can kind of leverage to stream things really well. You know, maybe we'll see that there. But I don't think the cable companies themselves are going to have any kind of retention packages. I mean, when you call in to cancel your cable, you'll probably go to the retention department or whatever it is that will try to get you to keep cable. I think we will see packages where, you know, you'll get more access to streaming content if you keep old cable subscriptions. But I think those are not going to succeed. I don't think people care about that. What we might see is, when you sign up for cable internet or DSL, for example, you'll have networks and content packages grouped into that. So for example, if you sign up for the higher gigabit network, for example, that you have to, you know, internet that you have to pay more for, you might have a discounted rate for HBO, for example. You know, I don't know if net neutrality rules are going to play into that, but, you know, that's the only way I could see cable companies kind of competing. Next question from Stank. Like Ludwig, I too love Pluto. I recommend that app to everyone who owns a Fire TV / stick. In your opinion, what are your must-have Android apps, including both free sideloads and Amazon Store for the Fire TV? thank you for another great week of AFTV News content. You're welcome, Stank. Yeah, as far as apps similar to Pluto, there aren't too many similar to Pluto per se, but you know, my favorite kind of content streaming apps would probably be, you know, they're not going to be ones you haven't heard of. You know, I like the big ones. I honestly probably spend more time watching content through YouTube than any other app on the Fire TV. I'm a big, you know, subscriber on YouTube channels. That's my go-to app, not YouTube. I like Tubi TV. They've got some good content there. Crackle has some really good content. There's the Watch It Reddit app for the Fire TV I like to use. Yeah, those are kind of the main ones. I don't actually myself watch too much content. I've got a four-month-old baby in the house, so he takes up a lot of my time that AFTV News does not take up. So there isn't too much time for me or my wife to sit in front of the Fire TV and watch content. And when we do, we're usually streaming either YouTube stuff or Amazon. Next question from Eddie Gonzalez. Can you recommend a USB stick for Amazon Fire TV Generation 1? Amazon should have updated the Fire TV stick to include a micro SD slot. Do you have any experience with over-the-air tuners such as HD Home Run Extend or Tableau TV? Any suggestions on which one provides better quality and experience? To address the first one, really any 3.0 USB drive will work pretty well on the Fire TV. I've posted about one. There's the PNY brand one is the one that I use. I've got like three or four of those that I use with the Fire TV. They work really well. You don't really need anything crazy high spec because the USB port on the Fire TV is only a USB 2.0 port. So any USB 3.0 stick will pretty much give you good performance there. So any USB 3.0 stick that has decent read-write speeds, that's a reasonable price. You don't really need anything high-end to work well with the Fire TV. As far as the Fire TV stick goes, saying Amazon should have included a micro SD slot, remember, Amazon has not updated the Fire TV stick to be next generation yet. They refreshed the Fire TV stick's package to include a voice remote, but you're still getting the same Fire TV stick in that new package. There's only one generation of Fire TV stick. I still think Amazon will update the Fire TV stick probably next year to a second generation device. Whether they'll include a micro SD slot, I don't know. I mean, all of their Fire tablets now have micro SD slots. The new Fire TV has a micro SD slot. So it definitely seems like they're gung-ho towards micro SD slots, but there's not much room there on that stick to include anything. And the main point of the stick is to offer Amazon video content as cheaply as possible. That's Amazon's goal with the Fire TV stick. So they're not going to include too many bells and whistles. That's really what the Fire TV, the main big box, is for. As far as over-the-air tuners like HD Home Run and Tableau, I do have a Tableau. The Tableau guy sent one to me to review. I haven't used it too much myself just because I don't watch too much over-the-air content. I haven't tried the HD Home Run, so I can't really compare. So I can't really comment much on HD Home Run versus Tableau. They both seem like really good devices, kind of each one tailored to different things. The Tableau lets you put a hard drive in there, so it'll record DVR stuff to the Tableau, whereas the HD Home Run is more about streaming, only streaming, so you'll save a little money. It's a cheaper device, the HD Home Run versus the Tableau TV. Yeah, I don't have too much experience. Next question from Dan says, do you think the ban will extend to Chinese Android boxes? I assume they can access Amazon Instant Video since they are using the phone tablet version of Android. I don't think the ban will extend beyond Apple TV and Nexus Player and Chromecast, primarily because, you know, like I said, I think the true nature of the ban is because of the App Store restrictions that Apple and Google have put in place on Amazon's apps. So I think since those kind of Chinese Android boxes are more, you know, they don't tend to have App Store access. I know some of them have, you know, Google Play access, but I don't think Amazon's gonna target them. You know, I don't think they're going to now analyze every single streaming box in their market and make sure that it's Prime Video compatible. Again, that was kind of, in my opinion, their kind of front end excuse for banning them, but really they want to kind of flex their strength against Apple and Google's App Store and Google Play Store guidelines, which kind of don't go into play with those Chinese Android boxes as much. Next question from Wedjomi. Hi, what are your thoughts about the usability performance of Fire OS 5, especially for Fire Stick TV users? Having gimmicks as Alexa is cool, but won't come without a hog on already low memory. And it is the lollipop inside which killed the mighty Nexus 7 after all. I have faith in Amazon that they'll optimize Fire OS 5 to make sure that it runs well on the Fire TV stick. The Fire TV stick isn't a slouch, you know, it's a decent processor in there. The Giga RAM is pretty decent. I don't think it'll run poorly. As far as Alexa, I don't think Alexa is going to be a resource hog. It's not always listening or anything. And Alexa doesn't do much computing on the device itself. It's really a cloud service. So as far as CPU and memory usage goes for Alexa, it really just needs to trigger when you hit the microphone button, record your audio, send that to the cloud, and then get an audio stream back. So really, I don't think Alexa is going to be much of a hog on the device. Next comment from Jim says, feedback only, you really need to do this on Twitch with a live, more interactive discussion thread. So I've definitely thought about that. I have the YouTube chat disabled, and I've considered putting this on Twitch. I don't think I have the bandwidth to stream on both Twitch and YouTube. So I've kind of just chosen YouTube just because Twitch is more gaming, whereas YouTube is more general. I know Twitch allows a lot of discussion shows like this on it, but let me know in the comments, either in the comments of the YouTube video or in the comments of the post on AFTV News, whether you guys want one to be for me to stream on Twitch over YouTube. And why, let me know why. Or also more importantly, let me know if you guys want that live comment system. Now, one of the reason I did not enable the live comments on YouTube is because it's harder to keep an eye on that stream and really see what people are asking. So when I ask for questions on Twitter, it's less likely people are going to be chatting. Those are directed straight to me. So that's why I chose to do Twitter questions versus an actual interactive discussion thread. Yeah, so let me know what you think there. I can always turn on the live discussion for you guys to talk amongst yourselves. It's like I said, it's going to be difficult for me to stay on top of that stream while I'm answering questions and talking. All right, so that'll conclude the ninth episode of the AFTV Newscast. As always, I stream live on Fridays at 1:30 p.m. Pacific. You're, encouraged to watch live because I, as you saw, I interact with people on Twitter. You can ask me questions there if you didn't get your questions in. I can follow up with you guys on Twitter. So it's really nice when you guys watch live. As always, the recorded version of this I usually put up on Saturday morning. You'll find it on YouTube or through my RSS feed that you can subscribe through on your favorite podcast client. It's available through iTunes. I really appreciate if either on Stitcher or iTunes, you guys leave me a review for the podcast. That really helps a lot to, get more people watching, get more people interacting here. I really like doing it. It's really fun discussing all this stuff with you guys. And, you guys are kind of the hardcore Fire TV fans and AFTV News fans. That watch this, and I really appreciate it. As always, you guys can follow me at AFTV News on Twitter. Definitely check out AFTVnews.com for all of your Fire TV news needs, and look forward to next week where I'll probably be covering more second-gen Fire TV information as I get the new Fire TV device. Thanks again.